Welcome to Real Time Real Estate, a podcast brought to you by St. Louis Realtors, your voice for real estate. Hello, everyone. I'm just dropping in with a quick note at the top of the show. The following podcast was recorded and produced by the students of the 2023 Leadership Academy for their final project. The goal of the St. Louis Realtors Leadership Academy is to give members a chance to shape their future as a leader by improving team building and communication skills, expanding their knowledge of the community programs and government initiatives that relate to real estate, increasing awareness of real estate and association management, and much more. If you're interested in learning more about Leadership Academy, you can do so at www.stlrealtors.com/Leadership Academy. Enjoy the show.
Welcome and thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Risto Kekich.
I'm Debbie Weber.
Thank you, Debbie. This is the fifth episode of five in a series of podcasts created by the 2023 St. Louis Realtors Leadership Academy. Our focus is to bring information to realtors in the community to give them an insight into the best practices and resources to help their clients the best. This podcast primarily will cover investment properties and investors and the best practices for handling situations. Debbie, first question. So basically, when you have a Section 8, can you go into detail about type of tenants and the things that you would need to acquire by providing Section 8 housing?
So for those that may or may not know what Section 8 housing is, Section 8 housing is through the Housing Authority, which a voucher is given to tenants that may have some income challenges. So they don't have a lot of income, so they qualify to get Section 8 help for rent on their property, wherever they're living. Sometimes the Housing Authority will give them partial vouchers, so they pay maybe 30 to 50% of that, and the Housing Authority pays the rest. Sometimes it's even 100%, so it just depends on the person, the tenant that's been qualified and what their situation is. When it comes to an investor, having a Section 8 tenant tenant is actually, it's guaranteed money. You know that they're actually going to, the government is going to pay their rent every month. One of the things that's the challenge sometimes is maybe not vetting the actual tenants very well. So what I always tell my first-time investors is that you need to definitely be involved with your property, meaning that with the Section 8 tenant, a lot of times people just do their, collect their rent and they never come back by and everything. Really to be a very good landlord and making sure that your property is always being taken care of, even with Section 8 housing tenants, you need to be someone that is constantly there, constantly checking in, checking on the property, making sure that you're keeping in good communication with them, and coming by every few months just to make sure things are running smoothly. The more that you are involved with those tenants and the more that they see you being involved with their properties, they're going to tend to take care of the property a lot better and have a better experience with Section 8 housing tenants.
Absolutely. Yeah, communication is key for sure.
So, and I know obviously you know a little bit about that as well with Section 8 housing or just tenants in general. Mm-hmm. When you are dealing with a tenant, how do you decide who pays utilities and things of that nature for the investor?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of options there. As a owner, you want to make sure that your tenant has the best situation for them possible so that they're a happy tenant and they take care of the property, like you mentioned. Although in some cases, you can have them have the responsibility of handling the water, electric, gas, the utilities, trash, things of that nature that will alleviate that of monthly expenses for you as an owner and put the responsibility on them and they feel a little bit more tied to the property and making them, responsible for those things gives them that mindset that's part of their property. They're inputting in that, financially and also with their time. So that makes a big difference.
Giving them that, like you said, the responsibility of that. Mm-hmm. I have seen though that sometimes some tenants or some landlords will add just that as part of the actual monthly payment. So that could also help alleviate some issues as well. But mm-hmm. So if the water bill is $50 and you know that all the time, then you automatically add that to the mortgage.
Right.
So that you know that it gets paid. However, it just really depends on the type of landlord you want to be. If you have someone that's managing your property or if you feel comfortable with the actual tenant paying all the additional utilities.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think and as far as payments, you know, obviously there's different ways to set that up with a tenant.
Right.
So there's things called month to month, and then there's a lease. Can you give us a little detail on the differences between those, please?
So you probably don't want to go in right away at a month to month. I think all of us have been in apartments and things of that nature. You usually have a first time, you have at least a 12-month lease, and that's usually the best way that you want to handle tenants, whether they're Section 8 or just normal regular tenants. Us as real estate agents, we do have contracts that are specifically generated to help you as a landlord and puts all those kind of things in writing. And you will have a specific contract that tells you and the actual tenant everything about their responsibilities. You're in a contract for a certain amount of time. It shows their rights, your rights as a landlord, their rights as a tenant. And it really just makes for a smoother type of agreement between the landlord and tenant. Month to month is usually when maybe you're thinking about selling the property, or maybe the tenant is looking for another place and you guys don't want to put together a full, you know, another full year lease. You will give sometimes month to month for them to be able to just stay in a couple of, you know, stay in a little bit of time. But the main concern for that is that you don't want to do that too long because you are wanting to get another, you know, full lease on for another property. However, the good thing about a month to month is that most of the time you can raise the rent slightly a little bit because they're not in a full tenant, full 12-month type of situation. So, might get a little bit more money out of that. I'm always good with that. And maybe it might force them to either to move out quicker or then they just sign another lease with you.
Sure. Absolutely. So there's benefits to each one.
There's benefits to each one, but it's not something that you just don't want to. Now, of course, if you're looking to be an investor and you're doing short-term rentals, so that is possibly where someone would be maybe doing a traveling nurse or those kind of things. Obviously, that's a little bit different than, and that not what we're covering in this episode. No Airbnb talk. We're not talking about any of that.
Sure. That's okay. So maybe let's go into, you know, when you're purchasing.
Buying a property is not, when you're an investor, is a little bit different than when you're buying it to live in the property, correct?
That is correct.
So some of the, one of the things that I have noticed with some investors is, they want to, you know, they're trying to do it cheap. They're trying to buy it cheap. They're trying to do what they can to minimize their costs. But there are definitely some things that investors need to be looking for when they're buying a property and things that they need to make sure they inspect on those property. What do you think those top five things are?
You know, I work with investors, and like you said, you know, the budget, the cost, those are some big things to an investor. And when buying a property, you know, your big ticket items, your roof, your basement, your HVAC, things of that nature. Locally in St. Louis, we have a few attributes to the electrical and the plumbing that are unique in that, you know, when you're looking at an electrical panel or you're looking at the electrical system, here we have what's called knob and tube. And a lot of investors will encounter that because some of these properties are older and those are the ones that they're after because they're a little bit more budget, you know, priced. So within insurance company, knob and tube is not the best thing that they're not looking at knob and tube like it's an opportunity. They want that out of the house. So removing that, that's a cost. Right. Knowing some of that as a realtor, you know, being through that, it's important to have somebody who has that experience or knows those attributes. The other part is obviously with plumbing. You know, you have PEX plumbing now. There's copper piping that was used for a long time. Now we have PEX. PEX will expand and allow, you know, for a freeze, when it freezes, it'll expand. It won't break as often as a copper. So those things can kind of keep costs down a little bit. And knowing that those updates have happened are very important for an investor. When you have a roof leak, man, that can really damage a property very quickly and severely. For
water is the root of every home issue. Yes. Starts with water.
Yes. So having an inspection, knowing about the roof, knowing about the, you know, the heating and cooling is obviously very important to keep a tenant. they keep them happy. So you need to make sure that that's running well. The basement, you know, if the structure's, you know, decent or it's good or it's been addressed, making sure there's no water leaks or that there's no cracking that's going to cause foundational issues in the future. Right. Obviously, with any building, that's important. But with investment, knowing that going in is important.
I think another thing for investors to consider to do as well is making sure that they get a sewer lateral inspection done.
Absolutely.
Especially the city houses, clay piping. And as an investor, you're coming in, you're trying to get the lowest amount of money for the property, but you're looking at everything as an as-is, just what you can visibly see. You can't visibly see what's going on underneath the house. So a lot of times investors, if you're a first-time investor, I would always say get a thorough inspection done of the property with, you know, a certified ASHI inspector. Once you get a little bit, you know, things under your belt, you kind of realize and kind of recognize some of the things that you're doing, but never, never, never skip on a sewer lateral inspection.
Absolutely.
Trust me. Don't do it. And if you do it, and when you have that $10,000 bill, you'll never do it again.
It's one of those things you can't see, and it's very costly. So it is a very important piece of the process for sure. Tell us a little bit about a lending situation that might give an opportunity for an investor. Let's call it a portfolio loan. Okay. Can you give us some insight on that? Because that can be beneficial.
Right. So there are definitely some lenders out there that, for those that don't know what a portfolio loan is a portfolio loan is a lending institution or even a person possibly that they look at the investment. They want to make sure that it's a good lending opportunity, but they're not going to sell your loan to the outside market. Case in point, just a specific lender that I know that does these is Regions Bank. So they are very community oriented, and they like to stay and keep a lot of their deals in house. Mm-hmm. So that's what we call a portfolio loan. And a portfolio loan does give you benefits because they're not having to sell to the open market. They don't have to go to Fannie Mae. They don't have to go to Bank of America. And there's definitely specific criteria that they have to reach if they're going to sell it on the market. When they don't sell it, they keep it. And it gives them a little bit more leniency for the loan and what things that they can do with the loan. So it can be definitely beneficial for an investor that's looking to possibly take it to not just to flip, but maybe to fix it up and to hold. And that might be something then that a lender might do to keep. And having a portfolio loan is definitely something that is very attractive to an investor. There are also type of investment like hard money lending, which is kind of what I was just was kind of talking about a little bit. So a hard money loan is for someone, usually they're not a bank per se. They're usually sometimes a person or a conglomerate of investors. But a hard money loan, it's a little bit more higher interest, but they are really good at helping investors with fix and flips. So helping them purchase the property, helping them finance the actual rehab of the property so that the investor keeps more of their money more liquid. And then once the deal is done and the house is fixed, they can kind of, then they pay off the investor. It's not quite as strict as some of your other loans if you're going through a bank. So it's very attractive to use a hard money lender.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of investors will go that route for sure because it makes it easier for them to start a project, get approved, the money's there waiting for them, and then they're ready to pay it back once the project's finished.
That is correct. Now, one of the there is some community-based, I don't want to call them hard money lenders because they're not. They're really within the community, and we've talked about them a little bit in some of the other segments, but Justine Peterson is a organization here in St. Louis that they have an actual investor type of loan. The good thing with them is that as long as you fit their criteria and meet their standards of what they're doing, they have a certain amount of money that they will lend to you, and they will help you buy the property and help you finance it. And it's not, and you're not having to put hardly any of your own dollars into it. Many times with a portfolio loan, you're putting at least 20 or 25% down when you're dealing with the banks. Justine Peterson is a grant, community grant type of organization, and they do these all the time to help investors put money into St. Louis, rehabbing homes that may not get rehabbed, And then once they get fixed and paid back, they go do it again. So it's a really great opportunity for a new investor that wants to get their feet wet. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little cash poor, don't want to put too much money into it, but it has the opportunity to do that. And it's a great way to kind of figure out your whole investment type of vibe when you're starting to do this.
Sure. Got it. That's excellent information. Yeah, yes. That's a great program for sure locally. Absolutely.
I wouldn't have known about any of those things, however, if I hadn't been really part of the, you know, St. Louis Realtors, being a part and connected into with the Leadership Academy, with just being a part of community engagement, different organizations within the St. Louis Realtors. That's how you get to know a lot of these things that you can then give to your clients and make you look like a rock star.
Yeah, connections are very important. And information is one of the top keys for success. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The other couple of things that I think we are wanting to discuss, basically, you know, as an investor, if you're going to have property or properties, it's important that, you know, you have all the pieces managed. And there's companies out there called property management companies. And what they do is take it step by step. They start with, you know, finding you a tenant. They put them through a background screening process. They manage taking the rent and the deposits and managing all the finances. They field questions and problems with the properties for the tenant and make sure that it's repaired and updated and maintained. The property management company basically does all of your back end and front end processes that you may or may not want or can do. Right. So that's a big plus there too. There's a percentage that they require per month of that rent that, you know, goes into their fees to do the processes and services that they provide. But that can be a big asset for if you have one or more properties, and it requires a lot of time and energy to keep all of that
and
managed.
And you just may not have it. And what I talked about before is that if you're not going to have a property management company helping you with, you know, your properties, you have to be someone that is on top of everything. You know, you are the property managers. And so if you don't have that kind of time, having a property management company to do that is definitely vital and can definitely even also help you with growing your portfolio, because in many cases, these management companies, they manage many people with lots of, you know, multifamily homes, single family homes. So it's also even an opportunity as an investor getting in with some of these property management companies when they hear of people wanting to sell, or, you know, somebody might be doing it. You might be able to have the first hand and getting into, you know, some additional property that you might have may have missed out on, or maybe outbid or anything if it goes onto the open market.
Sure. Yeah. Well, again, you know, having that information and knowing the community and being connected will help you understand that.
Yes.
And man, it makes a big difference going in for sure for investors. So
absolutely.
That's very important.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, as we're talking, if you haven't missed the tone in here, is be connected and to be an asset and a resource to your clients. So the more that you know about a lot of, you don't have to know everything, but the more you know about a few things, you can at least be able to give professional and great resources to your clients that just make you look like more of a rock star. And knowing a little bit more about investment as well is always a good thing to help help your clients build generational wealth. You buy your first property, you're living in that, the next portion, trying to do some investment. And it's always a good thing to have. And knowing, having the right agent and realtor to guide you through that is very important.
Absolutely, absolutely. One other thing I will mention, and that a lot of investors may or may not know, but a lot of them use what's called a 1031 tax exchange. And what that offers is a way to defer capital gains taxes that you normally would pay on an investment property. But over time, that builds up. And so what you can do with the program is the IRS allows you to buy and sell properties that are like the same property, basically, that you can sell your property and purchase another one that's like kind. So and what that is more or less a swap or an exchange to defer the capital gains tax to a later date. But there are a lot of kind of details that go along with that, but that can help alleviate some of the costs for taxes for investors. So that's one piece of, you know, information that can help. But you want to definitely consult a tax agent to be sure on all the details.
We know just enough to be dangerous. As I always say, I know just enough to be dangerous, but, you know, you got to definitely look it up and When you're talking about the Capitol, like the 1031 exchange, and it made me think about like even knowing more about your historic tax credits. So you've got many areas in the St. Louis area that are considered historical, especially if the home is 100 years plus. It's considered usually a historical home. So you're rehabbing, an investor wants to come and rehab. There is tax incentives, historic tax credits that you can get that will help you offset some of your rehab costs. But it's specifically so that you rehab the home in the kind of not the dated way, but at least keeping the aesthetic of the historical nature of the property. But again, that's a way to save money and to, you know, help your investor, you know, be able to take down some of their costs by making sure that they're keeping the aesthetic of a historical home.
Sure, absolutely.
Lots of information. There's lots of things that you have to know for doing an investment property. You just got to make sure that you're plugged in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Having a good realtor and being a well-informed realtor is very important. Being connected. You know, there's a lot of options locally, nationally, statewide that, you know, it's good to be connected. Absolutely. Yep. So definitely an asset. And thank you very much, Debbie, for talking with me today.
All right. Awesome. Stay educated out there.
Thank you for listening to Real Time Real Estate, a podcast brought to you by St. Louis Realtors. Join us next time for more on real estate news, trends, and industry insights. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. St. Louis Realtors, your voice for real estate.